Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alvin Kamara, possible 6-game suspension. Deshaun Watson also looking at a suspension. How does that affect Nick Chubb and the Browns offense? There's so many question marks heading into draft season. We're going to answer all that in our running back rankings, our tiered running back rankings. We're going to answer all that and more right now. Lock it in. Welcome back in. Appreciate everybody checking it out. Like I said, not just are we giving you rankings, we're also giving you our tiered rankings. We thought we'd add a little bit more to this. So let's just get right into it, shall we? Waste no more time. And here are our RB1 rankings right now. For mine in tier one, I have Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift. But in tier two, I have Najee Harris, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, and Leonard Fournette. In tier three, Saquon, Javonte Williams, and Aaron Jones. Robbie, in your tier one, you have Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, and Derrick Henry. So that's where we're different there. Tier two, you have DeAndre Swift, Joe Mixon, Cook, Harris, Fournette, Barkley. And then in tier three, starting with Aaron Jones and Zeke Elliott going off into your RB2s. So let's just get right into it, shall we? We don't really have a whole lot different. We have a little bit different. My tier one is a little bit different for me, at least for my tier one. These are kind of guys that I feel like have the most upside in terms of just being able to reach that RB1, trickles down from there. But for you, you have somebody you want to talk about today, Najee Harris, which I feel like his range of outcomes is all over the place, right? They add a new quarterback. Does that help? Does that hurt the offense? You know, they add George Pickens through the draft. Offensive line saw some upgrades as well there in Pittsburgh. But what are your thoughts on Najee Harris?
Man, you hit on some of them right there. I've been told that the workhorse running back is dead, and we didn't see that last year, right? Najee Harris got 381 touches, and that's kind of what we want in our running back. So he's a guy that you should want to have, but we didn't see that efficiency hit right where we wanted it to be. And now we've also heard some rumblings from Najee himself, how he's going to be taken off the field a little bit more here in 2022 than he was in 2021. So, you know, I can't really decide, like you're saying, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I feel like it could be a little bit of both. We love seeing him have that volume, but the lack of efficiency kind of holds him back from being that tier one player for me, where I'm just like you, where tier one means you have running back one, the running back one upside. And I just don't quite see that for him. We talk about the efficiency or lack thereof. His true yards per carry, he ranked 53rd at the running back position. Yards per touch, he was 41st at the position. What we do know is his targets are probably going to go down, right? We saw a ton of dump offs from Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers threw it 39 times a game, which was good for fourth most in the NFL. Like that is just a ton of offense that's being produced to the short and intermediate routes. We knew that with Deontay Johnson, Juju, Najee, right? Probably going to dial that back just a little bit, if not a lot. And then we're probably going to dial back those carries. We talked about him coming off the field a little bit more. If we dial back those carries a little bit, sure, the efficiency can go up, but I don't think it's going to go up to the point where he's going to be a top five guy. So that's where I've got him slotted in here as a tier two guy, running back eight for me. You can kind of, if you told me, hey, I want him to be running back seven above this guy or running back nine below that guy, I'm probably going to be with you. That's why we do these tiers, because you can kind of mix and match who you like and prefer. But I want to make sure that I'm noting that he is not in this upper echelon of players, but he is a locked in running back one for me. Let's see how they do with either rookie quarterback and Kenny Pickett or Mitchell Trubisky coming in for 2022.
Anyways, let's keep it moving here. And I'm going to talk about my guy, and that is surprise, surprise, Derrick Henry. I am once again, apparently the Derrick Henry hater. among TFA, and I will continue to go down with this ship. Yes, he was very good in 8 games last year, but that was largely due to volume. We heard a lot last year about once we got to weeks 11, 12, 13, people are like, oh, he's still leading the league in rushing and all this stuff. But people talk about that, but then don't factor in that he had 220 carries in 8 games. Like, there was a reason why he had so many rushing yards. Like, it wasn't like it was off efficiency or something like that, right? When you get that kind of workload, averaging almost 30 carries a game is almost unheard of. Shocker that he got hurt, you know, and ended his season, right? Or at least ended his regular season. And so people talk about like there was some huge feat that he had, but he still finished last year, I think, top 10 in carries, even though he only played in 8 games. Like, a lot of that should be factored in when we talk about it. But when we talk about him, the concerns I have for him this year, another year older, coming off an actual injury, especially for a running back, a foot injury, for a running back as big as he is, there's some concern there, possible re-injury and everything else with that. But again, a guy that's almost 29 years old, and really, truly trusting your first-round pick with a guy like this is truly something that I just don't want to do. Yes, it's possible that he continues this year and he gets another 25 to 28 touches a game. I think it would be suicide for him to do so with his age, where he's at in his career. And also, I just think their defense is going to be trash in Tennessee. And so if this defense, and they're playing from behind, and they don't have those good game scripts for him, it's going to be a problem because he is not somebody who catches passes. And a lot of my argument for him last year, against him last year, is just kind of the same this year. Though while he did put up fantasy points, don't get me wrong, I mean, he was averaging 24 fantasy points per game, which is tremendous last year in those 8 games. He was terribly inefficient as a runner. Like, he was 43rd in true yards per carry. And actually, I mean, the running backs that played after he went out averaged more yards per carry than he did, right? We saw that with Deonta Foreman last year, who came in and played well in his absence. 31st in yards created per touch. So he just wasn't an efficient running back last year. Only thing you can bank on is him getting 25 to 30 touches again a game or carries, because he's not going to be involved as a passer. Yes, he averaged 2.5 targets per game last year, and you know that's nothing to be excited about for a running back. So there's just so many red flags with him. Like, there's a lot of running backs in the first round with red flags, but he carries a ton. And I see a lot of people perfectly comfortable drafting him at like RB1 or RB2 this year, and I think that's ludicrous. Like, no thanks on that. There are so many other options that you can go with. I have no chance in hell am I going to take Derrick Henry, 29-year-old Derrick Henry, coming off a foot injury, and so many question marks around this offense, and just truly how remarkably bad this offense could be, and trusting him can't do it.
Yeah, I think for me, the foot injury is why I don't have him up there as kind of that running back 1, 2, or 3, right? Like, that is something I think that we should have concern with. Now, we did see him come back. I think just like Akers, he wasn't himself when he came back, did not look fantastic there, but with an entire offseason, I do think we can see him return to most of what he was before the injury. And I guess my counter argument to that is just where does the volume go if it's not going to him, right? Like, I don't see there be any reason why he wouldn't get most of that volume. He doesn't have to be efficient, right? You just showed us exactly why he can be the running back 1 and not be efficient, right? So I absolutely understand the worries with the injury. Absolutely. I'm not worried about the efficiency just because that volume is so strong. And they haven't done anything to show you that that volume won't be there still here in 2022. Hey, speaking of running backs who do not catch the football, let's transition to some of these running back 2s, because I got a guy I want to touch on here as we go through these next tiers.
Sounds good. So let's jump over to the our RB2 rankings, or our continuation of tier 3. And for me, it's Nick Chubb, James Conner, Breece Hall, who I have much higher here, Cam Akers, David Montgomery, Travis Etienne. And then in my tier 4, I have J.K. Dobbins, Zeke, Miles Sanders, Antonio Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Alvin Kamara, who, of course, we got the news of the suspension. And then Robbie, you have Javonte in tier 3. David Montgomery, Nick Chubb, Cam Akers, and James Conner wrap up your tier 3. And then your tier 4 is Antonio Gibson, Dobbins, Etienne, Jacobs, Breece Hall, Elijah Mitchell, and CEH. So take the floor.
Yeah, man. We were talking about running backs that don't catch passes. Well, how about one that doesn't catch passes, but at least he's efficient, right? Like, that's the one thing that we have going for us with Nick Chubb. And I truly kind of struggled when I was like, where do I rank him? This is a guy that has not finished lower than running back 10 in points per game the last three seasons. He's scored at least 8 touchdowns every single season, including his rookie season. He hasn't been a bad running back, right? He's 6th in true yards per carry, 4th in yards per touch, 6th in breakaway run rate, 3rd in evaded tackles. Like, this is just going back to what you were saying with Derrick Henry. This is the exact opposite, right? This is a guy that just runs the full. He's one of the best pure runners in the NFL right now. So why do I have him down here at 14 in tier 3, you know, outside my running back ones or my first two tiers there? And I think the question mark that you kind of hit at the start of this video is what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And I think there's two scenarios, right? One, we get some form of a suspension, but it's not the entire season. And we have Deshaun Watson, where they're going to be a little bit more pass heavy for the games that he plays. You've said it yourself. I think you were kind of the one of the first ones to bring this up. What happens to some of those goal line touches? What happens to some of those red zone touches? Are they going to go Watson's way a little bit more than Nick Chubb? I think there is a cap there on that upside. But then if it's not, then if it's Jacoby Brissett for the entire year, we know that that's a downgrade in terms of an overall offensive quarterback, right? So I think the efficiency there that keeps Nick Chubb pegged so high is going to take a hit. So we know that he's not catching passes, so that's going to keep him outside of a top 6 running back for me. He's not getting 350 carries like Derrick Henry, so that's not going to let him, you know, fast pass his way up there. We know Kareem Hunt is keeping that rushing upside capped. Hunt missed half the season, so we are expecting him to come back, you know, and play most of the season here in 2022. So I just think we have to look at either for him to be healthy, because he has his own injury risk, right? Chubb, like I just said, hasn't played a full 16-17 game season. One, we have him banged up year to year, but two, we have this quarterback issue that I think is going to be a problem for keeping him at that running back 10, running back 8-9 level that he's been at in years past. So he's going to be in this large tier 3 running backs for me. I know he's going to be a lock kind of at that turn, either a running high-end running back 2, maybe slips in as a low-end running back 1, but that's as high as I can get him in my rankings.
Which is such a shame, because I absolutely love Nick Chubb. I mean, the player, absolutely love him. He's a tremendous running back. He is one of the best pure runners in the NFL, no doubt about it. But with so much uncertainty with Deshaun Watson, what's going to happen there? And I actually, like I've said, I think that could actually hurt him more than anything. But then also, like, but I will say, I don't think Jacoby Brissett, because he's going to be the starter in Deshaun Watson's absence, I don't think it's really that big of a downgrade to what Baker Mayfield is. You know, like I don't think that really affects him all that much, but he is limited with a low. He's not somebody who's going to get a lot of pass catching work. Kareem Hunt, once he comes back, which is possible still. I mean, who knows what they do? Maybe they trade Kareem Hunt, you know, once we get into training camp and stuff like that, or preseason. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I think it's his last year of his deal anyway. So I don't know, but like, as things currently stand, and they also like Dearness Johnson. So does he take a hit in terms of touches? And if he does, I mean, that makes it really tough. I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to talk about one of my guys, and that's David Montgomery. I've kind of hit on him before. He is still undervalued right now. His underdog ADP is 51.7 overall. That's not good. Listen, I guess I said it on other shows. Apparently I am the Bears stan here, but because I just like the entire offense. But I think it's a lot of it because they're all undervalued right now. And maybe for a reason, good, or maybe it's not. But David Montgomery is somebody who is going to get a lot of touches. And he's not just somebody who's going to get a lot of carries, who averaged almost 18 carries per game. That's Joe Mixon level type of carries. An 80% opportunity share, which was 4th among all running backs last year. You are not going to find that in running backs, the range that he is going. I mean, most drafts he is going right now in mocks, like RB18, RB19, off the board. I mean, that is a tremendous value for a running back right now. And somebody who had 51 targets, almost four targets per game last year. He averaged almost, you know, over 20 touches per game last year whenever he was healthy. Yes, he only played in 12 games, but, and no, he is not a terribly efficient runner. Actually, he was actually a better pass catcher in terms of efficiency than he was a runner, because last year he ranked 42nd in yards created per touch, but he was 21st in yards per route run last year. But, you know, somebody that is going to get this kind of volume that can give you 15, 16, 17 fantasy points per game, I think it's something we should like. And yes, Justin Fields is going to be there. Justin Fields is going to take some of that upside away, because Justin Fields can run. And Justin Fields was worked in and out of the lineup last year for David Montgomery. I still think the value is there. The upside is there. Khalil Herbert, yes, I love him as a handcuff, but overall, like, this is likely going to be David Montgomery's backfield. So just going way too late, completely undervalued right now.
Yeah, I almost look at Justin Fields being a help for David Montgomery, right? Because we have this stigma when running quarterbacks come in, and we just talked about with Deshaun Watson, so I don't want to talk out of two sides of my mouth, but Nick Chubb's efficiency is already there, right? Like, it's not like he's going to get even more. He's not going to be running for 6.5 yards per carry, right? But with David Montgomery, you just hit on it, right? He is having to do everything he can just to get yards before he gets contact. But with Justin Fields as a potential threat out of the backfield, I think that helps his yards before contact, because if you look at his yards after contact, David Montgomery is one of the better runners in the NFL, especially with his break tackle rate. So if you can help him out at least before he gets hit with a different threat, I think that that's just going to help out his efficiency just that much more. So I'm going to talk about another guy that I'm excited about, really similar in a lot of ways to David Montgomery, another Iowa State guy here, Breece Hall, a guy that can catch passes, a guy that does it all as a runner, and probably a better athlete coming out of college than David Montgomery was. And I feel like this is right kind of where consensus is on Breece Hall. It looks like you're a little bit higher, but how I see this playing out is that we've seen it before, right, with these rookies, that maybe at the beginning of the season, maybe the first 4 to 6 weeks, it's not this fantastic love fest where you're glad you drafted Breece. He's in your lineup every week. No, you're maybe questioning, okay, is this a matchup I can play him? He burned me week one or week two, right? They're using Michael Carter a little bit more than I thought they were going to. I feel like that's going to be this type of start for Breece Hall. But then we get into week 7, 8, 9. They have the bye, I think, like week 11. And then I think he takes off, just like we saw with Akers, just like we saw with JT, Miles Sanders back in 2019, if you remember that second half of the year. I feel like Breece Hall is going to be that league winner at some point in the season, and that makes him worth the draft pick here at running back 2, kind of in this tier range that I have him in, because I do think that he's going to pay off dividends later in your fantasy season, and especially in the fantasy playoffs. And that's going to be worth something. So if you take him, maybe you pair him with a running back that's a little bit lower that you know you can get a couple starts out of through the first 4, 5, 6 weeks. And I think that's how you play it. But we got to know that the Jets are a team that maybe won't be the most prolific offense. We know that Zach Wilson doesn't throw to his running backs a ton, right? They were bottom 8th in the NFL in running back targets, and that was with Mike White. Remember his 4 starts? He threw it to Michael Carter 31 times in just those 4 games. So if we take out some of those games, Zach Wilson's probably one of the quarterbacks that passes the least to running backs. And so that's where I want to make sure that I'm not getting too high on this prospect. While I do think he's going to pay off dividends later in the year, I do think there's probably a cap through most of the season. So that's why I have him down here as a lower end running back 2.
The only thing that I will say is I don't think you're going to be able to get the opportunity to draft him at 22. I think once we get into like training camp, August, preseason, there's going to be nothing but positivity coming out there. We're already kind of starting to see it trickle out a little bit from minicamp stuff about Breece Hall. And I think that he is going to be a guy that probably couldn't – I don't think he'll get first round, like, go in the actual – like, the first round just because of it's the Jets. And I think people aren't going to move him up that high. But I think he's going to be a guy that probably starts going late second or early third, I think, is by the time we get to, like, September timeframe, I think is where he ends up going. Not to mention, we've had a rookie running back 9 of the last 10 years finish as an RB1. So last but not least, let's talk about Alvin Kamara. Some news that just came out recently that he is looking at staring down the barrel of a 6-game suspension. And this kind of changes everything for him. His ADP is going to absolutely plummet. I think there's 2 scenarios here with him. One, I think there is the how far does his ADP fall until you're comfortable with taking him, right? Because we know when he's healthy, the guy's an absolute monster. Last year, he was 4th in fantasy points per game last year for a running back on a very, very dreadful offense. Jameis went down. I mean, it was just a terrible, terrible offense last year. No weapons. And he still was 4th in fantasy points per game last year. Still a great pass catcher out of the backfield. 5th in yards per out run last year. The 6-game suspension obviously hurts. Now, here is the argument I would have. If, let's say he falls, because I think he's going to fall, probably to the 5th or 6th round if his 6-game suspension comes. I would feel comfortable taking him as early as like the 4th round, taking him ahead of ADP. And here's why. When he gets back, that is such a big time. Because, like, really, what we don't really care. I mean, I really don't care about the first 6 weeks as much as I care about the last 6 weeks, right? I mean, he's a guy that if you can get in the fourth or fifth round, even if it's the sixth round, if that's where he's going, if you feel more comfortable taking him there, it's such a game changer once he comes back, right? Like, he's going to be fully healthy. You're going to get a guy that can give you 18 to 20 fantasy points per game in the season, and he's going to be completely healthy. And so, like, while yes, I'm not taking him in the first or the second or anything like that, there's way too much risk there. I get the argument that, yeah, you still need to win through the first 6 weeks to make the playoffs before it's a count. But if that risk is taken out of it and you can get him later in a draft, like, he's a slam dunk. And I would take him a little bit ahead of ADP wherever that falls, whatever the suspension comes, because of that massive upside he's going to bring once he comes back to this field. So Alvin Kamara, yes, is going to fall. Certainly not a first round pick anymore, but I still have him at 24. And I would be I would be comfortable taking him around that spot.
Yeah, I think you said round four. I think that's going to be a little bit too early, just kind of looking at some of these names. I think you're going to be looking at him round five, maybe the end of round five, because I'm still seeing guys. Brandon Cooks is a guy that I'm going to take above him. Marquise Brown is a guy I'm going to take above him. Godwin's there. You can have that conversation because he might miss his own 6 weeks, right? But when you get here to the turn for five into six, you have Michael Thomas, TJ Hockenson, AJ Dillon, Amon-Ra St. Brown, your guy Darnell Mooney, Damian Harris. That's the range, I think, right? Like, right at that 5-6 turn, where I'm absolutely comfortable taking him. So, like you're saying, you're probably going to have to jump up a little bit to take him maybe early in the fifth, and that's probably where you'll need to go to get him.
Let us know in the comment section below what you thought about our rankings. You know, where did we get right? What did we get wrong? Who are we too high on? Who are we too low on? Let us know in the comment section below. We got a lot of content coming. We're going to have a lot of debates because we definitely could have had some debates here with some of our rankings here. There were some guys that you had that I'm like, okay, we got to talk about it, and we will talk about it. But anyways, we will catch you guys on the next one. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.